Series on followers of Christ. This is my eighth time on this series. Being follower of a Christ is a sine qua non of what it means to be a Christian. Meaning, you follow him, then you are a Christian. If you don't follow, so it means you're not a Christian. Okay? So this is eighth and last message. And I wanted to kind of finish with Peter, okay, Apostle Peter. And the title for today's message is, if you could just look at it, because title is very, very good if you look at it. According to his great mercy, it's not just any mercy, but his great mercy. You know why it is great? Because God is great. Anything of God is great, if you think about it. Okay, his creation is great. He didn't just create, you know, pieces, right? His love is great. His compassion is great. You know what? His wrath is great, right? His hatred towards sin is great. His love for you is great. His mercy is great. I don't think it needs to be there, but Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, decided to include this word plos, meaning much or many, great mercy, just to express his heart. Okay, we remember Peter picked up as a follower of Christ during his job. He was a fisherman. He was casting nets to catch fish to make a living. That's when God called him. I think that's significant. God called him while he was working, right? And then many years went along, and we don't really know exactly what happened to Peter, but the tradition says that he was martyred in Rome, which is what we're going to be talking about today. But according to his great mercy, he has caused us. Isn't that meaningful? It's he who caused us to be born again. Just look at the title. Title itself, I think, is a message, a great message of the gospel. Okay, it's why were we born again? Because he caused it. What has driven him to do that? His great merciful heart. Isn't that great? If it's just a God of justice towards you and I, we have no chance. Do you understand that? If he just goes by whatever you do it to him and he do it back to you, then none of us have a chance. Bible clearly declares that. If he began to count your sin, who could stand? Does it make sense? Right? It just does not make sense at all. Okay? So that's the title. And I want to begin by what Jesus said in John chapter 3. You must be born again. Okay? There is no stronger expression than you must. Okay? You must be born again. What happens if you are not born again? If you're not born again, you are living in, according to the Bible, in deadness. Okay? You are heading toward eternal destruction. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? With that background, we have to see Christianity. Otherwise, Christianity doesn't make sense at all, right? It just does not make sense at all. If you're not born again, right, you're heading toward eternal destruction. And I am not exaggerating this, adding this, hopefully not subtracting any of it, because that's clearly what the scripture says. If you're not born again, you and the people around you, your family members, your siblings, your spouse, your children, they're heading toward eternal destruction. Okay? So, you must be born again. And there are three, possibly four, must statement Jesus makes. Okay, let me just give you, and if you could just listen. You must be born again is one of them. And then Jesus said, Son of Man himself must be lifted up. I think they are like counterpart. You must be born again so that you will live, and Son of Man must be lifted up, referring to his death and cross, and I must die. I must die, and you must live. That's the gospel message. Isn't that great? Instead of, you must die, and I must live, which is what we think all the time. So, you must be born again, and Son of Man must be lifted up. And John chapter 21, Jesus said, you must follow me. You must follow me. How do you reconcile these three? And if I made one more, if anyone would come after me, you must deny yourself. And you must take up your cross. And you must follow me. Those are four must of the gospel. And don't you forget that, because that is the gospel. Those are the gospel. And somehow, these four things need to be reconciled in your heart. Okay? You must be born again. You must live. Son of Man must be lifted up. The cross is a must. Right? And you must follow Christ. And you must deny yourself. Okay? So how do we reconcile all of these? Okay? You must be born again. How do you do that? Okay? What does it mean to be born again? And I want to quote John Wolverot. As a true man who is born naturally and receives a human nature from his parents, so man who is born anew, born again, receives a new nature, a new capacity for service and love for God. That's the key. When you're born, you have human nature, okay? When you're hungry, you need to eat. When you're tired, you need to sleep. And you're made to love and to be loved. That's human nature, okay? All of these are human nature. But if you're just born once, you have a human nature. But if you're born again, you get a God's nature of love for him. That's the key. Desire and affection. Do you have it? If not, why not? Is that something to kind of like brush it off and not to think about it and just take a chance? You know, that's a harsh word to say, right? Take a chance. I'll take a chance, okay? I remember when I was in school, after I got into graduate school, I had to take my last exam. I already got into my graduate school, and I didn't want to study, okay? So I said, you sure you don't want to study? And I remember him saying, I'll take a chance. Stupid, right? Foolish. I already got into graduate school, so I'll take a chance. You can't take a chance on things like this. What happens is if you're born again, somehow the Bible speaks about being born again, your nature changes, your DNA changes, your affection and desire changes. That's what the scripture teaches. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise about these, right? Once you are saved, you are saved. True statement. That means once you are truly born again, you are saved. That's what it means. Okay? So, yep. So it is the new nature, new capacity for service and love for God. It's the desire and affection. And I continue to want to ask you, are you born again? Right? You must be born again, Jesus said. Okay? And how do we do that? It is by his great mercy towards you. Okay? That's me, and that's his mercy. Remember, this is the Niagara Falls, and this is the Niagara River. When the water fall comes down, there's going to be river. Okay? It makes sense, right? It's his great mercy pour upon our hearts, his great love, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, me. And God has demonstrated his great love for us. If you have it, you will have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. There's nothing kind of in between. Okay? So it is by his great mercy. I just want to... Sarah read the entire chapter, and I wanted to do that. In fact, it would be great if you read entire book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter just to see his ending. Okay? What his thoughts were. What his theology... theologies were, what he really believed, what drove him all the way to Rome and to be crucified upside down. You know the story, right? I'm going to show you the picture. Okay? What drove him? If you could just read the whole book, it'll be better. Let me just read just five verses. That's all we're going to deal with today. In fact, we're just going to deal with two verses today. Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles. Isn't that a great expression? We are elect and we are exiles on this earth. God's chosen, but this is not our home. I think that sums up everything. God's elect exiles of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and in Bithynia, which is the Asia Minor or present Turkey. Okay, present Turkey. There's no churches there, by the way, right now. Everything is closed down ever since Paul's time. And verse 2 is great, but we don't have to deal with that right now. Another according to statement. According to the full knowledge of God the Father. In other words, God has chosen you. In the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, that's work of the Holy Spirit. For the obedience to Jesus Christ. And for sprinkling of with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Okay? And this is the key verse for today. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a statement. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. If you are born again, he caused it. If you are born again, and I know many of you are, and then possibly there are many of you who are not. If you're born again, if you have great, clear affection for the Lord, for the eternal kingdom, he caused it. Why? Because of his great mercy. Okay? We would have been heading toward eternal destruction. All of us, every single one of us. None of us are a little bit better in position than the other. You know why? Because it is sort of like the distance between us and God is so vast. It's like you try to swim to London from New York. Anybody good in swimming? I'm pretty good, actually. But I don't think I could swim more than an hour. Okay? Straight, try to cross the Atlantic. Okay? We try to swim from New York to all the way to London. Who's going to make it? Okay? Even Michael Phelps maybe survive for 3-4 days, and then he will drown anyway. He's not going to make it. None of us will make it. The vast distance between London and New York, so great. But the distance between us and holy God is infinitely greater. You will never get to him. And yet he has chosen you and chosen me. That's his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, okay, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I just want to point out two things. This is what Peter believed. One is resurrection, and the other is the coming of Christ. That's Christianity. Okay? Do you believe in resurrection? Resurrection is the game changer. It really is the game changer. I love to use that expression. It's the game changer. It's the wild card. Okay? Resurrection is what makes everything Christianity different than everything else. Resurrection. Do you believe it? Okay. The other thing is, he is coming back. You know, Jesus is coming back. When is he coming back? Bible says soon. Meaning, we don't really know when is he's coming back, but he's coming back soon. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be in our lifetime. I pray that it is in my lifetime to judge the living and the dead, and human history ends. Christianity. That's Christianity, if you're a Christian. That's a game changer. Resurrection of Jesus Christ and the coming back of Christ, which is the last day for the judgment. Remember talking about his great mercy, That day, it's going to be a great wrath upon those who are not ready for him. Great wrath. Don't take a chance on that, please. I don't think you should take a chance. You got to be a fool, greatest fool, if you do that. Right? So I wanted to point out those two things. Okay, let me just tell you a little bit about Peter, because he's the author, and I wanted to finish with this one particular follower of Christ named Peter. I don't know whether you like Peter or not. How many of you like Peter? Could you say amen if you like Peter? Honestly, if you like him. Could you say amen? Ah, come on. Be. If you like Peter as a person in the scripture, could you say amen? I personally love him. I really like him. A lot of ways he's like me, I feel like. In fact, I'm going to argue that he's like the representative follower of Christ of all of us. That's what I'm trying to explain today. Okay? Peter, disciple, follower of Christ, he was first called by Jesus, divine call, by this calling. Remember this? Come, follow me. He was casting a net. He was working. He was a fisherman in Galilee. Come, follow me. It's a divine call. Okay? And I will make you, God is promising you, a fisher of men. That's Christian calling. And he lived as a fisher of men because God made him a fisher of men. That was the beginning. So who is Peter or Simon? He was raised in Galilee with his brother Andrew. He had one brother. And he was a fisherman with his brother in fishing business, if you will, possibly partners with John and James. Okay? They go together, right? And Peter was married. He was married. For those of you worried about Christians getting married, yes, he was married. Right? And we know the story of Peter's mother-in-law who was healed. And he was led to Christ by his brother Andrew. It's a beautiful thing, leading your own sibling to Christ. Right? Peter was the leading preeminent among the 12 disciples. He acted and spoke on behalf of the other disciples. At the Transfiguration, he asked Jesus, "This is good to be here. Can we build 3 shelters? One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you?" He always being the spokesperson, leader. Right? And he asked Jesus about teaching on forgiveness. How many times should I forgive when brother sins against me? 3 times? 7 times? Remember that? And with Peter, James, and John, there were the inner threes. Inner three, right? And it was Peter in Caesarea Philippi when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up, "You are the Christ and Son of the living God," right? And when Jesus explained about his passion and death, Peter was the one who spoke up, "It'll never be." And he began to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Satan, get behind me." Remember that? So if you put everything together, the portrait of Peter is that comes from all 4 accounts of the gospel is an impulsive, often rash, and he's first to act and to speak his mind, and it was typified by some enthusiasm. That's why I love him. Although he made a lot of mistakes, he was always there. What about you? I want to just ask you, are you even there for the kingdom, for the church? He was a rash person, and he was a impulsive person, but he had love for the Lord. He had a passion for the Lord. So Peter was one who rushed into where everyone else feared to tread or walk. And that very trait aligns him with all of us, humanly speaking, as the representative of all followers of Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but he followed him. Right? That's Peter. So, what does it mean to be born again? Remember John chapter 3? A guy named Nicodemus, a very religious person, probably on the level of a bishop in a Baptist church. Very well educated, understanding the Old Testament really well, and he was a sincere man, and he came to Jesus one evening and basically asked, you must be from God. And then Jesus said, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? I'm already a grown man. I'm like 200 pounds, right? I'm not, okay? Not exactly 200 pounds. How can I go back to my mother's womb and be born again? What do you mean I need to be born again? Unless I'm born again, I'll never, not see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus answered, could you look at this? Truly, truly, I say to you, he doesn't need to do that. But let me tell you the truth. Unless you're born of water and spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not. None of you. You better listen to this, brothers and sisters. Unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Okay? And then all of a sudden he talks about something very, very peculiar. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Okay, could you look up here? Yeah, let's look up here. Let's look up here, because I want you to look at the PowerPoint. Okay, are you born again? I'm too young to be born again. No, you're not, actually. Absolutely not. Jesus is saying, unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And then all of a sudden, he talks about wind. Okay? In Jesus' time, obviously, they did not have a Doppler's effect or anything like that. Or they didn't know the nature of the wind. They didn't know where it was coming from. They didn't know where it was going. They just knew it came because you see the effect. And basically, Jesus is saying, that's how it is when you're born again. Okay? You may not understand it, but you will see the result right here. What is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, if you are still not born again, you will see the fruits of that. But if you are born of the Spirit, you will see the fruit of the Spirit. You will see it. If you don't see it, you ain't there. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay? You must be born again. Okay? How do we do that? Okay? If you go down, John chapter 3, there's that famous verse in John 3:16. Okay? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. But do you know what comes right before that? There's that story right here. As Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, this is verse 14, and this is famous John 3:16. As Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, so Son of Man must be lifted up. Okay? So he's comparing something. Just as something happened in the Old Testament, the serpent need to be lifted up, Jesus need to be lifted up. What's he talking about? Right? So you need to understand what's going on here. It's from Numbers 21, okay? Right here. Israelites were traveling in Numbers 21, okay? And the people got tired. People got impatient. And they began to grumble. They began to spoke against God, and they began to spoke again to Moses. And God hates that. You know what God does? So he sends fiery serpents and to bite Israelites with poison, and people were dying left and right, okay? There were 2 million people, right? And I don't know how many serpents were sent, like, and they were biting all the Israelites, and they were dying left and right, and they were panicking. So what do? They decide to repent, okay? They came to Moses, and Moses, we have sinned. Would you ask the Lord to save us? Okay, that's the story right here. They spoke against God and against Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, no loathe of this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents. Judgment. You know, God hates sin. God sent fiery serpents right away. To what? To kill Israelites. Among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses. They were panicking, said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." Isn't that interesting? Right? He didn't say, "Could you pray to the Lord so that he may heal us so that we don't die?" But they pray that, "Would you pray to the Lord to take away the serpents?" That's very striking, very striking. So Moses prayed for the people. And listen, just listen to what God did afterward. "Take away the serpents," and this is what God did. "Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, he shall live.'" Isn't that kind of crazy? They were bitten by serpents, fiery serpents, and God's answer and remedy was, "Raise up a fiery serpent and let them look at it, and they will live." It's a very peculiar story, isn't it? They sinned, they grumbled, they deserve to die. They should all perish. Right? But they repented. So God gives them a remedy for them to live. And it's God's wisdom is to raise up a fiery serpent. Could you look at my hand? All you have to do is look at the fiery serpent. You are bitten by fiery serpent. You are bitten by sin. And all you have to do is sin lifted up. Isn't that crazy? That's what's happened in Numbers 21. "And whoever looked, they lived." Why did they live? Because there is a power of that bronze serpent? No. It's God's way of saving his people. When they repented and trusted the Lord. Unless they see it, they all died in the desert. That's the story of Numbers 21. And basically, Jesus is saying, as Moses was lifted up, the serpent, right? In the wilderness, Son of Man must be lifted up. I ask you to take a look at this for a moment, because you must understand this. Okay? You must understand this. This is the famous John chapter 3 story. People were dying left and right because they were bitten by fiery serpents. The poison, sin. But all they had to do was see the fiery serpent lifted up, the sin lifted up. Isn't that crazy? Just as Moses lifted up the fiery serpent, Son of Man must be lifted up. Do you see the comparison? What do you have to do? What do we have to do to be born again? You must see your helplessness and deadness. Without it, you're all going to perish. You're all going to perish. There's no exception. "No, I'm not." Yes, you will. Take a chance and be a fool, right? You must see your hopelessness and deadness, and you must repent. "Lord, I've sinned. I've grumbled." And you must trust the only solution, only remedy in your life. Look up. Okay. That's what you need to do to be born again. I saw this quotation by Augustine, and this is so cool, okay? The Jews, Israelites, looked upon a serpent to be free from serpents. And we look upon the death of Christ to be delivered from death. I think that's so amazing. The Jews, Israelites, they saw the serpent to be delivered. Remove the serpents! And you have to look at the serpent. And in the New Testament, in the Gospel, okay, the death of Christ for you to be delivered from the death. That's the Gospel. Okay. Just as sin, fiery serpent had to be lifted up, sin had to be lifted up, the sin had to be lifted up through Jesus Christ, your sin and mine. Why? Why did he have to be lifted up? Because God so loved the world. Because he loves you. But I don't deserve it. That's right, you don't deserve it. I haven't done anything good. That's right, you haven't done anything good. In fact, your enemies, your foolish enemies. I was a foolish enemy. If you look at him, you'll be born again. That's what Jesus is saying. Is that simple? Yeah, it is that simple. But you must see your deadness and eternal destruction that you're heading toward. You must see it. Otherwise, you've got to go there. And you must repent. I've sinned, Lord. You must. Doesn't matter what your title is. Doesn't matter whether you're a pastor. Doesn't matter whether you went to seminary. Doesn't matter your five generations of your family went to Christian church. Doesn't matter. Unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? A.W. Tozer describes born again like this. There are two spirits abroad in the earth. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience, that's us before we were born again. Every single one of us. Children of disobedience and the spirit of God. These two can never be reconciled in time or in eternity. The spirit that dwells in the once born forever opposed to the spirit that is inhabits in the heart of twice born. Okay. Do you catch this? Let me just explain this. If you're not born again, spirit of disobedience reigns in you. The enemy reigns in you. Devil, Satan reigns in you. And if you're born again, the spirit of God reigns in you. That's how different it is. Small difference? No. Black and white difference. If you are not born again, you are deadness. Complete darkness. You don't see anything. Could you try to close your eyes and try to walk a couple blocks? That's what you're doing for you throughout your lifetime. You're in complete darkness and blindness. But when you're born again, you are moving to, transfer into his marvelous light. That's what it means. You are living in hopelessness. If you're not born again, you are born into a living hope. That's the difference. Oh, I think I'll just kind of like push it off. I'll wait. Why? You're living in complete darkness, deadness, and the Satan and devil reigns in your heart. That's what the scriptures teaches. To deliver them, right? Deliver them is to be born again. How do you do that? Only by his great mercy that could happen. Only by grace. I mean, realizing that, I am poisoned with this fiery serpent sin, and I must look up the remedy that God has prepared, and only one remedy That's Jesus lifted up. Son of Man must be lifted up. Isn't that what Christianity is? Right? I love this verse. If you are in Christ, if you're born again, you're a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. That's what it means. Have you been born again? Come on, look at me, please. Have you been born again? Youth group, can you look at me? Yeah. Don't worry about your handout. Look at me, please. I just want to ask you, have you been born again? I'm too young. No, you're not. Actually, you're not. Absolutely not. Without Christ, we're all heading toward destruction. And we are bound and slave to sin and Satan. Only when you look up, Christ lifted up, and trust in Him, place your trust in Him, you could be born again. There is no other way. Youth group, amen. Could you say amen? Yeah. Some of you saying amen, I know. But you know what? I don't think this is a hard message. I don't think so. How old do you need to be saved? I think you have mind. On top of that, Spirit of God is moving among you. Help you understand this. Absolutely. Do you know, without Christ, you're all heading toward destruction? You are poisoned by fiery serpents. You are. Do you have joy in your life? Do you know why? Because Christ is not reigning in your heart. Do you have peace in your heart? You could have peace when Christ reigns in your heart. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. What made Peter to finish? I want to finish, so if you could just pay attention with me. What made Peter to finish the way he finished? I think two things that I already mentioned. Resurrection, game changer. And the coming of Christ, the game changer. Do you believe it? If you don't, you're not going to do well. I promise you. The game changer is resurrection. And the coming of Christ. Read 2 Peter, which we're not going to do right now. He finishes off the day of the Lord coming like a thief. He starts off with born again. How are we born again? Not through the perishable, but imperishable, which is the living and abiding word of God sown into your heart, which is what I am trying to do so hard right now. Okay? Sowing the seed, imperishable seed in your heart. So hard right now. And he finishes off with coming back of Christ and new heaven and new earth. If you believe it, you'll finish well. If you don't, chances that you're not going to finish well. I promise you. Okay. I want to finish of what happened to Peter at the end. We don't know in the scripture, but according to the tradition by early church fathers, you know, Josephus and Ignatius and all these different people put it together. Basically, Peter went to Rome. Okay, he was a church leader. He was the leader, right, in Jerusalem. And eventually he went to Rome, which is like New York City right now. It's crazy if you think about it. He went to Rome, and he was doing his missions work. And then there is a major fire, okay, And Nero, the emperor named Nero, wanted to blame Christians, and he wanted to kill all the Christians. Major Nero persecution came in history. They used Christians as candles. They just burned them as candles. And they threw them into a huge stadium and sent living lions. And they just watched them. Ah! No, like thousands of people watching them. There was a major persecution. And Peter decided to kind of like retrieve and run away. And he was on his way to out of Rome. And while he was walking away, he met Jesus again. And Jesus was going toward the Rome. So Peter said to Jesus, this word, Quo vadis Domini, Latin word, where are you going, Lord? And then Jesus said, I'm going to the Rome to take up the cross. The cross that you're not bearing. And after that, he turned around, went back to Rome. And he was martyred by crucifixion. But he said, if my Lord was crucified upright, I cannot bear to do that. So crucify me upside down, like this. Do you see it? It's a famous painting. Famous painting. I guess he was bold. I don't know. Yeah. And he was crucified upside down. We'll finish up today. Four must statements by Jesus. You must be born again. Son of Man must be lifted up. You must follow me. And you must deny yourself and you must take up your cross and follow me. Will you follow him? I believe if you are truly born again, you will follow him. Okay? Let's pray.